Glad to have you all here today, especially it's beginning to look a lot like shoveling out there, right? We're glad you're all here safe and pray that you return safe as well at the end of the service. We will follow the order of service as it's listed in our bulletin. Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151, page 151. All of our service is laid out there for us to follow. Let's begin our service then with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, this Advent season we know that you are coming to save us, coming to bring this world to an end, and coming to us through your word and sacrament to create and sustain faith in you. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, during this Advent season, as all these distractions around us are ever present, we pray that you would keep our eyes firmly fixed upon you and on your mercy and on the grace that you earned by your death on the cross, your glorious resurrection and ascension. Keep us ever looking to your Son, Jesus, for our forgiveness. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. We'll begin our service then with our opening hymn, hymn 344, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry.
Service Setting 1, found on page 151 in the front of your hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro as you find at the front of your bulletin insert.
The word on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there is arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 345. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding, number 345.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
You may be seated. Dear Christians, throughout the history of the Christian church, for the last 2,000 years almost, Saint John the Baptist has been painted thousands of times. If you go home and Google paintings of Saint John the Baptist, you'll find many of these famous paintings. And you'll find there's really three ways in which St. John is painted. First, and perhaps most familiar to us, is St. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, both of them standing in the Jordan River. The heavens are ripped open. The hand of God points down to Jesus, and a dove descends upon his head. The second way that John is often painted is sadly after his life is over. Often he's painted beheaded, his head on a silver platter being carried by Salome and presented to Herodias. The third way that St. John the Baptist is painted is the one that we wish to focus on today. For it's a much more important way that John is painted. John is painted preaching, teaching, delivering God's word to the people who will listen. In the paintings of John preaching, he's dressed in his camel hair outfit. Oftentimes he has in one hand a staff with a cross upon the top. The most important part of the painting is none of this. It's his other hand that's most important. For you see, when St. John the Baptist is painted preaching, his hand is always the same. He has one finger straight out pointing at something. In some paintings, St. John is pointing at a lamb, to teach us what John the Baptist preached. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In some paintings, St. John is actually pointing directly at Jesus, who often is painted next to him or on a hill far away. Sometimes, when the church is really well done, St. John is in one painting over here, pointing across the sanctuary to a statue or painting of Jesus elsewhere in the church. And sometimes John is pointing directly to a cross. Sometimes with Jesus hanging on the cross. You see, when John is painted preaching, his sermon is always carried out by where his finger is pointing. He points always to Jesus. He never brings attention to himself. He wants you to look at Jesus. He doesn't want you to worship him. He wants you to worship Jesus. He doesn't want your focus to be on all the rest of the painting. He wants you to look at Jesus. It's Jesus that is important for John the Baptist. And that's why Da Vinci painted John with his finger pointing to Jesus. El Greco and Raphael painted John with his finger pointing to Jesus. Matthias Grunewald, hundreds and hundreds of others, all had John pointing you to Jesus. The one finger pointing to Jesus represented all that John the Baptist did to prepare the way of the Lord. Look to Jesus. Look to Christ. That one finger pointing to Jesus encapsulates all of St. John's life. In the womb, when the Virgin Mary visited Elizabeth, we know what happened. Mary spoke hello to the pregnant Elizabeth, and 6 months in utero John leapt for joy within his mother's womb, as if to say to her, "Look, there's Jesus." As St. John preached in the wilderness, He preached about Jesus. The one who's coming after me is greater than me. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I must decrease. He must increase. And as we've already referenced, when Jesus walks down to St. John to be baptized, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spoke. This is he of whom I've preached my entire life. Look to Jesus." In all these cases, John isn't tooting his own horn. John isn't focusing us on himself. He always is pointing to his Lord. And that brings us to our gospel lesson for today. John had spent his time preaching faithfully in the wilderness, and as a result of his faithful preaching, has been arrested by King Herod. Why? He preached that King Herod, marrying his brother's ex-wife, was sin, adultery, inappropriate. And when you accuse the king of adultery, it doesn't go well for you. So John is imprisoned in the fortress of Macarius, high above the Dead Sea, south of where John had preached of Jesus. John is in the dungeon, awaiting eventual beheading, as we've heard from Scripture. It's during this time that today's gospel lesson takes place. John knows that his days are numbered. John knows that his own job of pointing people to Jesus is almost to an end. John knows soon he will be killed. And so, through the prison window, as pictured on the front of the cover of your bulletin, John preaches one last sermon to his own disciples. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another?" John knows the answer. He always has pointed to Christ as Lord and Savior and God. And now, as he's about to depart from this world, he wishes to give his disciples the greatest gift possible, faith in the Messiah. So he sends them to see Jesus. He sends them to see the one who takes away the sins of the world. And in so doing, John is a faithful pastor. That's what every single faithful pastor does. Look at Jesus, not at me. Look to the Savior. Focus on him. That's what's important. He's the one, Jesus, who takes away your sin. He's the one, Jesus, who feeds you with his own body and blood. He's the one who has washed you in water and the Word. He's the one who can grant you eternal life. Look to Jesus. Listen to what he says and preaches. So John, he's a faithful pastor to the end, sending his disciples to Jesus. And what do they find when they come to see Jesus? They find him doing the work of the Messiah, healing the deaf and the blind and the lame and the mute, raising the dead so that they can live again, preaching good news to the poor, the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation, won by a bloody cross, by God in human flesh. Jesus is the Messiah. Of that, there can be no doubt. John, as his last act, brought his disciples to that Messiah so that they might have life and forgiveness and healing and peace that this world could never take from them. The finger of John always points to Jesus. Pastors, in their work, try to always point to Jesus. The faithful painters of old wanted you always to look to Jesus. Dear Christian, where is your focus today? Where are your eyes looking? Especially, it's only a little over a week until Christmas time. What are you worried about? What things are you looking to get done? Are you focused on work? I have to get everything done before the Christmas break. I haven't gotten my end-of-the-year bonus yet. There's all those end-of-the-year reports that need to get accomplished. Will I get a raise for next year or not? What are you looking at? Are you looking ahead to seeing family? Traveling over icy roads, long distances? Pent-up kids on winter break from school? Looking ahead and being afraid of having to talk to Uncle Bill about politics at family Christmas? What are you looking ahead to? Christmas preparations? Have you got all the lights up? The food cooked? The wrapping done? The buying done? The presents decorated with the bows just perfect? What are you looking ahead to? Travel arrangements? Football teams and recruiting? Financial woes? What are you looking forward to? The loneliness of a holiday without a loved one? The empty seat at the table? Where are your eyes? Do you trust in the pastor to make it all better? Do you look to a political party or a politician to save you? Do you look at the news channel or a financial institution? Where are your eyes? Dear Christian, John the Baptist's finger wishes to preach to you as well. He would have you look to Christ this Advent and Christmas season. He would have you look at Christ the whole year through for all the rest of your life. He would send you to Jesus and have you ask, is he the one who has come? So that you too might discover who the Lord is, the one who heals even from death itself. Where are your eyes? Repent if they're anywhere except for at your Lord. Repent of having your focus swallowed up by the other things of this world. Look to your Savior. Look how he's born of Mary, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. Look at how he is stripped, beaten, bloodied, and crucified. Look how death cannot hold him, but instead he rises victorious from the grave. Look as he ascends into heaven to plead for you with his own blood before God the Father. Look how he makes himself present here at the altar so that you can eat and drink for forgiveness of sins, his very own body and blood. Look to your baptism as a reminder that all of your sins have been forgiven for absolute certainty. Look to Jesus. Find your salvation in him and in him alone. Dear Christian, God desires to save you through Jesus. Yes, there's lots of other shiny things in this world, ornaments and lights, busyness. Don't let them distract you. Look to Jesus. As St. John points to him, as all the scriptures point to him, as your pastors point to him, as God's holy word points to him, look to Jesus. He is your Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by confessing our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 159 in your hymnal, page 159. Nicene Creed, page 158. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all
to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pastors, that they would regard themselves as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, and that they be found trustworthy as they carry out their duties. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in the military, especially for Ron, Leo, Kylan, and Paris, that you keep them in your safety at all times. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For our college students, that they may safely travel home to reunite and rejoice with loved ones in the coming week. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we would forgive as we have been forgiven, give as we have been given to, and love as we have been loved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and all those in high positions of authority among us, that they may be guarded from every evil and kept from using their power for selfish gain, serving always with the common welfare of all in mind. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homeless and hungry, and those who suffer want through unemployment, that they may receive the help they need, and that we as God's blessed children would always stand ready to assist those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Pastor Luis Coronado, that he may be returned home safely to his family and church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those who suffer, especially for Ernest, LaVon, Jan, Joe, Alvin, Tom, Ann, Diana, Maureen, Galen, Matt, Pastor Jack Kirk, Norma, Barb, the family of Ron Mencken, the family of Minnie Splitter, the family of Marcel Mathis, and the family of Charlene Wickira, and for the church and congregation of Zion Lutheran Church in Shelton, Nebraska. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to Zion's feast today, that they would rejoice in the gracious visitation of their Savior at the holy altar, receiving his very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins and the strengthening of their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the prophets and all faithful saints who spoke in the name of the Lord before us, let us give thanks and praise to God, and for steadfastness in faith, that we might look with hope for the revealing of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, on the last day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're glad to have you here with us. This time we have what we call the right to fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you'll fill out your information in there so we can acknowledge your presence with us. We want to welcome all those listening on our radio station. We pray the service is a blessing to you as well. Also at this time, we worship God by collecting our offering.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Please stand as we sing our post-communion canticle. Page number 165, the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, hymn 338. You may be seated. Morning. A blessed Advent to you all as we come to the end of this season of the church year here in the next week or so. Lots of events happening. First off, we invite you for Bible study in the fellowship hall. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 5. And then back in the corner, room 109, we'll have our summary of Christian doctrine class as we continue to plug away through that as well. Also, Bible study this week, Thursday, we will have our Lifelight Bible study at 1 p.m. as well, so put that on your calendar. And Tuesday morning, we do have our men's Bible study at 6 a.m. also. You'll see on the Good Shepherd News and Notes several events coming up. Tuesday, December 17th, a play date from 9:30 to 1 for moms and kids, so put that on your calendar. Wednesday, lots going on. We have our last Advent meal. The youth group will be serving that. And then following that, we have our children's Christmas program at 6:30 p.m. Following that, if we could have a couple volunteers stay after to help us set up for a blood drive, which will be on Friday from 11:30 to 5:30 here at Good Shepherd, so put that on your calendar also. You'll see then at the bottom of the calendar, we have Christmas Eve service, Tuesday, December 24th. That's saying it twice, right? Christmas Eve on December 24th. At 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the evening. Christmas Day service, 9 a.m. On the next day, December 25th. And then New Year's Eve service will be the following week, Tuesday, December 31st. And there'll be no Christmas or New Year's Day service this year, just New Year's Eve. No Wednesday night services both those weeks because of the services on the days before. So we're going to move things just a little bit that way. January 19th, there's a soup cook-off coming up. So put that on your calendar and start looking at your recipe book and figuring out what you're going to make for that. Also in the back, there are the Higher Things devotional booklets. Feel free to pick one of those up on your way out. Finally, in the back, in the Narthex area, the college students, I think they're called Bulldogs for Life. The pro-life group from Concordia Seward is doing a bake sale in the back to support their organization. So run by that table and peruse it and go home with some good baked goods that you don't have to make yourself. So it's good for your waistline, right? Any other announcements then that I've forgotten?
Fantastic singing by the adult choir.
Yeah, just great.
And Pastor Poppy's okay,
Pastor Poppy's looks much different. You can decide if it's better or worse this morning. No. Pastor Poppy hopefully is on an airplane for a vacation with Barb, and so he'll be back not next Sunday, but the Sunday. He'll be back for Christmas Eve after that. So, all right. God's blessings on your day and your week.